Long story short, basically the contract between Iowa Pacific and Amtrak, one of the provisions of that contract basically split the revenues up between the two organizations. It got to the point where Iowa Pacific did not understand that it could continue to finance their operations with the amount of money they were getting under the contract. And so they requested that they be released from the contract. And Amtrak then stepped forward and agreed to provide service for the remainder of the contract, which I think runs until the end of June of this year.
Now, obviously, we know that that Amtrak has had this, the service before. They did have the equipment, the locomotives and the cars and the like, as well as continuing to now offering, of course, the ticketing service and working on how the tracks are set up for the trains that run from Chicago to Indianapolis and vice versa, and the crews for those trains as well. So it's not like Amtrak got out of the business. They've just kind of taken a different role, and now they're taking things back over?
Iowa Pacific's exit appears to have everything to do with Iowa Pacific's own internal finances and their business plan. My understanding is they're having some problems in other parts of the country with other operations as well. So the good news is it does not appear to be something specifically about the Hoosier State that created the problem. It was more something about the private sector partner that NDOT had partnered with. Amtrak will be providing the service on the same schedule. Of course, the difference, as most of us see, is that the level of service that Amtrak can or is willing to provide is not the same as Iowa Pacific was providing. Some of us believe that it was that high level of service that, in fact, was attracting increasing riders and higher revenues to the service. However, it is not as if the state of Indiana, for instance, has pulled the plug. There is still a line item in NDOT's budget request for the next two-year budget that would be the state's contribution to the operation of the Hoosier State. As far as we know, that line item is still in there, and no one has made any aggressive moves to replace it or to remove it. So we're basically seeing a commitment, I think, on the part of the state of Indiana to explore modern passenger rail service in the state. It's not so much the state backing away, but unfortunately, the state's private sector partner. Fortunately, Amtrak was able to step in and fill the gap. Now, we have to remember that 2 or 3 years ago, when NDOT sent out an RFP for this service, Amtrak was basically one of the people that indicated an interest in providing the service. So we're really falling back from, let's say, the first choice vendor to maybe the second choice vendor. So, you know, there's good and there's bad here. The downside is Amtrak service levels generally are not as good as Iowa Pacific has provided. On the other hand, we still have the service. The commitment from the state of Indiana is there, and we're moving forward.
I know one of the things that Iowa Pacific was particularly proud of and was marketing very heavily, and to their success, at least as for as long as they had the service, was the amenities that they've been able to add, such as Wi-Fi, the business class seating on the Hoosier State, a lot of improvements as well, too, and the meal service and the like that they worked very hard to be able to establish while Iowa Pacific had the train. So the hopes, I think, that we're hoping that Amtrak is able to be able to pick up some of those amenities or at least get some cooperation from the communities along the route to help foot the cost.
Well, Amtrak has increased the amenities on its own long-distance train, the Cardinal, which follows the same route. I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment on that because system-wide, Amtrak's driving mode is system-wide, and this is because of what comes out of Washington, has been to reduce costs, okay, and minimize on service. They have not and do not at this time really have a mandate to provide world-class service. Here again, that comes from Washington because Amtrak is controlled by Congress and, you know, annual appropriations, and the emphasis has always been to cut costs, to minimize service, which is a problem. I don't know if Amtrak is going to be able to overcome that. However, what we saw with the Iowa Pacific service was that there's a market for a premium service in this country. Trying to do bare bones is probably counterproductive. No one likes bare bones service. You know, would you take a Volkswagen Bug to Chicago if you could drive in a limo? You know, would you fly economy coach if you can afford first class? So I think that is the open question, whether Amtrak is going to be able to step up and not just provide service, but provide the kind of premium service that 21st century America really wants and many of us feel is willing to pay for.